Matthew chapter 28. You might hold that place in your Bible and turn also to the book of Mark chapter 16. You could also turn to Luke chapter 24 and John chapter 20 and Acts chapter 1. And you don't have to turn to all those places. I'll read the scriptures and you can just sort of hold your place if you want to. This evening, I'm speaking to you on the 24th in the series of messages on the Church Covenant and the Articles of Faith. And I'm going to be speaking to you on our Article of Faith concerning our work in the area of missions, or what we believe about the Great Commission. In the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Mark 16:15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48. "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." John 21:20. "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned upon his breast at supper, and said, Lord, is this he, and who asked, Lord, is he that betrayeth thee?" This is the wrong verse of Scripture. Wish that was not on tape. The verse that I'm wanting tonight is probably chapter 20 and verse 20 or verse 21, where he said, "And as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And we will not search for that verse. I know it's there. That's the verse we're wanting. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The modern word missions is used over-inclusively. By that I mean to say there are a lot of things that are called missions today that are not missions. There's a lot of God's money spent, if we could call it God's money, in some of the churches that it's spent in, on work that is referred to as mission effort, which is not biblically and properly called missions. Excuse me. It may be true that there are things which could properly be called missions which are not. But tonight I want to speak to you in an area that will seek to identify what mission work is and what our proper responsibility in that area involves. First of all, what is a proper definition, biblically, of mission work? Excuse me a minute, please. I understand it's that time of the year when our allergies are supposed to act up. And so if that's true, then I'm right on cue. I'm very seasonal, and everything is as it ought to be tonight. But it doesn't go very well with trying to speak publicly. What is a proper definition of mission work? Now, I don't mean what do you mean by the term missions, or what do I mean by the term missions, or what does some other church or group mean by the term missions. We don't really have any right or any reason to place those ideas or those traditions as an article of faith or as part of our responsibility as a church. What is it biblically? It is, first of all, sending out or sending away to preach Christ. Now, hear what I'm saying. It is sending someone out or sending them away to preach Christ. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 3. "And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away." This is speaking of Paul and Barnabas, or Barnabas and Saul, who were sent out of the church at Antioch of Syria on the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. And the Bible clearly lays before us a pattern there. The church prayed over them, and the church laid hands on them, and the church sent them away. Now, they had been laboring there in the church for a long time. But at this point, they're being sent away, and all of us recognize this as being mission work. In other words, it is something that is a beyond-the-congregation effort. Many things today are called mission work because someone says, well, mission work is evangelism. That's true. Evangelism is mission work. Therefore, whatever we do, whether it's, whether it's going door to door, knocking on doors, or whatever we do, that's mission work. And that may be true, but basically, when any Baptist church makes reference to mission work, they're talking about an effort that goes outside of the congregation, something that says, we will not enjoy the fruit of this labor in our pews, in our building, but we will reach out. We will reach beyond our immediate area, as the Lord said, ye shall be witnesses unto me, not only in Jerusalem, but in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what mission work is a work that says we will not confine ourselves to a local activity, but we will reach out to the uttermost part of the earth. In the book of Genesis, chapter 49 and verse 22, a reference is made to Joseph, and this is in prophecy, and says he is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. And this is what every church ought to be. We ought to be fruitful boughs whose branches run over the wall. In other words, we should never be satisfied just to gather in. We ought to think far beyond the counting of noses and nickels. That's not an original term with me. I believe Brother Milton Martin is the person I heard first use that term. And I thought it was a good term. Many churches, he said, are doing nothing but counting noses and nickels. And I believe that's the truth. But that should not be our effort. Our effort ought not simply to be gathering in and seeing how many people we can sit on a pew and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, but to reach out with the gospel as far as we can reach. So a proper definition of mission work is a reaching out. Secondly, the unmistakable responsibility of mission work. Now, we read to you in five different books of the Bible very definite commissions or commands of the Lord to go into all the world with this gospel of Christ. We should never need to say missionary Baptist. Of course, there's a lot of other things we ought not need to say. We ought not need to say sovereign grace because there's not any other kind of grace. We ought not need to say Sovereign Grace Baptist Church because there isn't any other kind of a Baptist church. And we ought never need to say Missionary Baptist because any non-missionary group. Now I want to say this, and I don't care if this refers to a church that you were raised in or a church that you know of down the street or up the street or on the hill that has a sign on it that says Baptist. Any non-missionary group is neither Baptist nor church. We are to be missionary. Mission work is not, I mean by that, reaching out around the world. It is not some kind of a special effort or some kind of an extraordinary effort that we tack on to the efforts of the church. We have a mandate from God to go into all the world. When opportunities are opened, such as in the Philippine Islands, and that's just one illustration, but when those opportunities are opened, we really don't have that much of a choice as far as walking through the door. I said to a preacher three months ago, that I was making preparation to go to the Philippine Islands. He said, what in the world do you want to go there for? I said, I don't. I mean, nobody in their right mind wants to go to the Philippine Islands as far as just wanting to go for the sake of going. There are all kinds of places I'd rather go. I'd rather go down to Lake Waurika. You know what I mean? Any old day. And I've never even been there. But I'd rather go there, I know. But the thing about it is, I didn't go there because I wanted to go, but I went there because we have a mandate of God that says go, and a door was opened, and we knew a door was open, the evidences were there, and so this is an unmistakable responsibility. It isn't an option. It isn't something we decide to do or something we do because we desire it. We do it because God said do it. And listen, we don't even have a right to exist on this corner or on any other corner in the world unless we're doing it. As a congregation, we don't have that right, even to exist if we're not doing it. Thirdly, the singular nature of mission work. Now, this is important because today there's a lot of talk about mission work where it simply is not mission work. I mentioned that in the introduction, but let me say this. The singular nature of mission work is always preaching the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't do anything good along the way. Doesn't mean that we cannot help somebody in the process. Brother Steve was mentioning earlier a mission trip he had been on where they flew up to a place and picked up a young man in the plane and hauled him down someplace to a hospital to get treatment because the communists had come through and I either shot him in the head or smacked him in the head or something and wounded him. And those things happen all over the world. And I'll tell you something, folks, in the Philippine Islands, for instance, I didn't get into a situation where I could help anybody physically. As far as I know, I may have. I probably held some doors for a couple of old ladies or something like that. Didn't put any notes down about that or anything. But if I had the opportunity, I certainly would. Because just Christian conduct everywhere, but that's not what we're there for. That's not what I went there for. That's not what Brother Martin was down in Mexico for. Wasn't anything wrong with him doing it. In fact, it was perfectly proper for him to do it. But that's not what he went there to do. He went there to preach the gospel of Christ. I went to the Philippine Islands to preach the gospel of Christ and to implement the preaching of the gospel by other men. Now, the word teach, go ye therefore and teach all nations, never implies anything less than what we have in 1 Corinthians 1, 17 through 23. Listen to it. This is what Paul was doing, or 17 and 23, actually, not all the way through. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I want you to listen to that. We hear a lot of talk today, and there are a lot of wise plans and a lot of new ideas and a lot of new curriculum that's going to change the world, but I got news for you. It won't do the job. The simple gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul said, not in the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And many times today, even in so-called Baptist mission work, the cross of Christ is made of none effect. Because good men have figured out good plans to do a good job, a better job than the simple gospel will do. But Paul said, no, that's not what we're doing. Look at verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Mission work is always the preaching of Christ. Every area of teaching, every area of discipleship, every area of Bible study. And there's nothing wrong with any of those terms. Those are good terms and proper terms. But in all of those cases, this work must come down to the declaration of or the witnessing to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the simplicity of the gospel. It has within it and around it a power and a strength that is ordained of God that nothing else has, and that's what mission work is all about. If a man gives a shot, or if a man helps someone along the way physically in the process of his mission work as a Christian activity, I find no fault with that. But if his purpose in going to the field is anything less than or essentially different than the preaching of the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, He has no right to go. We have no right to send him, and we have no right to support him in such an activity as that. Again, it doesn't mean that he cannot do other things in the process of it, but he must be there for the purpose of preaching the gospel. It does not involve digging wells and planting crops and teaching Eskimos how to conserve whale blubber in the summertime in the Klondike. That's not what it's about. It's the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'd be amazed. Now, I mean, I know I'm sounding a little bit ridiculous there, but you'd be amazed at some of the junk, some of the garbage that's being done today under the guise or under the name of missions with money that is given in good conscience by people in so-called Baptist churches to do mission work around the world. It is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, the proper result of proper mission work. What is it supposed to do? Well, it is not to promote churches. It is not to promote colleges. It is not to promote fellowships. Some years ago, a young man stood in this pulpit, and I don't remember if he showed us a map. He may have hung up a thing here and showed us a map, but if he didn't, he drew us a mental picture of the whole northwest corner of the United States, and then he drew another picture that included Idaho and Montana and Minnesota and a whole group of Iowa and a whole group of states there. And he said, in all of this area, there is not a sound independent Baptist church. And I was amazed at this, because I'd been preaching in some of that area, and I knew other preachers preaching in some of that area. And I thought, now what is he talking about? And I realized, hey, this young fella just graduated from school. He just got out of an independent Baptist college. And when he says a sound independent Baptist mission work, he means a mission work that is affiliated with that school, supporting that school, that came out of that school. Because in many instances, mission work is designed to promote those colleges. Whatever college they come out of, it promotes that. Sometimes it is to promote churches. Sometimes it is to promote preachers. And in all of these instances, it's wrong. It's sometimes to promote fellowships. Proper result is, now listen carefully, it's very simple. It's not difficult. You don't have any trouble remembering this. The proper result is indigenous churches of like faith and order. When we go into an area to preach Christ, the result, the immediate result, of course, should be people being saved. When people are saved, then this should go ahead and mature or materialize into churches of like faith and order being built with those churches. Many people have supposedly been won to Christ in the Philippine Islands, and I think a lot of them have been saved. But the sad thing is that they have never gone to the trouble, or they've never borne the burden, they have never carried out the responsibility and the hard task of saying, yes, this is right, no, this is wrong, no, we will not touch you if you do it this way. It's not a pleasant thing to do. But because they have not done that, they have not built sound Baptist churches. They have built little groups and thingamajiggies that do this and that and the other and fluctuate and vacillate from one thing to the other. And as soon as the missionary is gone, they run off over here to another group that has more money and one thing and another. And that's being done in many places around the world. Now listen, we've gone to the Philippines, for instance, and we've established some missions there. What is a mission? What is a mission? Well, it is an extension work out of Bethel Baptist Church. But what's a mission for? Did the Bible say to go into all the world and build missions? Well, no, it didn't. Do we find in the Bible that they were going into all the world and building missions? I don't think you're going to find that. You're not going to find it. You're going to find they were building churches. That's what Paul was doing. Churches were being established. Why then missions? Listen, one purpose and one purpose only. And that is to bring these people along and guide them to a place of maturity where they become an independent Baptist church of like faith and order. If you were to say to me, would you like for us to have missions all over the Philippine Islands? I would say, absolutely not. No, 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 no. We don't want that. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. You can go down in eastern Oklahoma and you can find Indian churches down there by the hundreds. I mean literally by the hundreds. Between 1925 and 1930, hundreds of little Baptist churches became missions out of some Southern Baptist church in a city nearby. Do you know how that happened? They organized a program whereby they said, we will help these young churches. They need to build buildings. They need to do things like this. And so they appropriated a lot of money, and they gave hundreds of those young churches $500 apiece to help out with building or whatever else they might need, which probably most of it never got to where it belonged or where it was intended to be. But in order to qualify for that, it was necessary for those little churches to become a mission of an established church in one of the nearby cities. And therefore, most of the Southern Baptist Indian churches, and some of them that never knew what a Southern Baptist was, never identified themselves as anything but just missionary Baptist, accepted the $500 and became missions right west of our house, a little place called High Spring Baptist Mission. It was there long, long before this program ever was designed, but it became a mission, and it's remained a mission all of these years, and it always will, and it'll never be anything else, and it'll never amount to anything. We don't want that. What do we want? We want churches of light, faith, and order. And the only reason that any group remains in mission status is for a period of time in which because they are detached from us. If they were nearby, we'd say, hey, you don't need to be meeting over there. You need to be meeting here. If you go out there and start something later on, it's a different thing. But they can't be here, and so we extend an arm and we reach out, and they remain in a mission status only long enough to become established and matured so that they become a church of like faith and order, not a network of Bethel Baptist missions. That is not our goal at all. Fifth and finally, the local church format for proper mission work. What is it? The commission was given to the church. When he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. When he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When he said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. When he said, it behoves us that the gospel of Christ should be preached unto all nations. When he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Not after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in all parts of the world. Acts 1:8. And I'm not going to take time to get the words right in my mind, because I don't have that much time tonight, I don't think. I believe it would take the rest of the night. But you know what I'm talking about. He was giving this commission or this command to the church. It was given to the church. No other institution has the right to usurp this office. I have seen in my ministry, and it's not been that long, but in 32 years of work, I have seen some of the most unbelievable messes made in the name of mission work that you can imagine. And I'll have to say, in all honesty, I know that it was not the intention of the men, in many instances, that labored faithfully in those areas. It was not their intention to make a mess. They didn't go there to make a mess. They did not go there to design a failure. They did not go there to start something that was not going to last. They did not go there to build something that was going to come apart. They did not go there to build something that was going to turn into heresy. They went there with good intentions. They went there at great sacrifice to themselves and their family. They went there and labored, and their efforts turned to something that was worse than nothing. That's not what they intended. Why did it happen? Because they went there under the authority or the officership of an institution that had no right to send them. Therefore, their work could not be blessed of God, and though it might have appeared for a time that God was blessing it, it will not happen. No church has the right. Listen to me. I hear churches say, well, sure, we know that the commission is to us, but we are delegating that portion of our labor to this fellowship or this group. We do not have the right to delegate our work to anybody. God told us to do it. We are to do it. We don't have the right to turn and tell someone else to do it. We can cooperate with others, but we have no right to cooperate with anything but a true church. We don't have the right to cooperate with a non-church institution. You say, you mean Bethel Baptist Church doesn't have the right to cooperate with a fellowship? No, we don't have. Now, it doesn't mean as far as the world is concerned, as far as other churches are concerned, it isn't any of their business what we do. But I'm talking about as far as God is concerned, before God, do we have the right to unionize with something besides a local church? Or do we have the right to cooperate with something that is not a church? And the fact of the matter is, no, we do not. And in all honesty, the message that I've seen in the Philippines in these two trips that I've made, it seems to me that it is quite evident that the problems that exist there have come out of activities by something besides sound local churches. And when the local churches have been involved, the fact of the matter is they were not the ones who finally made the decisions. The decisions were made by fellowships, associations, conventions, and on and on and on you go. The problem, now let me say this. I don't want to lay all the blame on that. I believe that the Philippine people are basically very, very susceptible to deceit and to greed and to graft and things of that sort. It seems to be very, very, it's very common there. We had a problem just last week that I got a phone call and said, this check, the words was the check bounced. I said, well, none of our checks bounce. There's something wrong. Either the somebody there is confused, or there's one of the signatures not on. Well, I got a letter from Brother Gennett yesterday, and he said what it was is that he had cashed the check through the place where he was employed, and the lady there then had deposited the check through, a lot of things there are not done. But finally it got to the bank, and the man through whom she had deposited the check said, hey, it looks to me like I may be able to get cash this check twice. And so he called her up and said, this check is no good. I need the money immediately, the $75. I need it now. And he thought she would just send him $75. And when she said, I want to see the check, they found there's nothing wrong with the check. He had not even run it through the bank. He wanted $75 cash, and then he's going to run the check through the bank and get it. And they think like that. It's not uncommon. You say, that sounds stupid. It is stupid. It's stupider than a bucket of mud, but they do it all the time. And so I don't blame the churches of the United States for all of this, but at the same time, I want to say this, that if we will be careful, I don't mean close our fists. I don't mean that. But we need to be careful. That's why it does not bother me when I hear questions and ideas of saying, hey, let's look at this. Let's be careful. Because we need to do that. But the fact of the matter is that we need to do what we do as a local church, and God will bless that. Let's seek to do God's work God's way. Remember how that when the Philistines decided they didn't have any business with the Ark of God, that it was causing them a lot more pain than it was advantage, and they thought if they had it, they would be blessed like the Israelites were. They found that when they got it in their possession, they were cursed. And so they said, what we're going to do is take it back to the Israelites. So they made them a cart, hooked them some cattle to it, sent it back to the Israelites. The Israelites said, hey, this worked well for the Philistines. They didn't have any trouble getting it back to us, none of them. And so let's move it on a cart. And so they started moving it on a cart, just like the Philistines moved it. And you know what happened? Almost as soon as they got started, God struck one of their faithful workers dead. Why? The Philistines can move the ark on the cart. Israel can't. And there are non-church groups out there all over the world. They can do things like they want to. Oh, God's not going to bless it and establish churches from it. But I want to tell you something, folks. We don't have that option. We need to learn what God's way is as well as we can learn it. And we need to do it God's way. No church that is not carrying out mission work in a biblical fashion has any reason or any right to refer to themselves as a Baptist church. Let's stand with our heads bowed.